Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome back into this new episode of UAP Weekly. I am Stephen Diener, back with you here on the Unidentified Alien Podcast Weekly Edition. And today we are going to take a deep and strange dive into something that is in the news, actually, these days. A big event that is actually going to happen very soon. And that is the total solar eclipse. And let me just say first, real quick, before I get into this little, a preface here before we kind of dig into everything. I'm so happy to be back on here with you. It feels like it's been forever. There's just been so much craziness behind the scenes that has taken away the time that I've been wanting to spend on talking to you about these things and making these episodes and writing these things. And I'm just so happy to be able to do this now, because if you didn't see the video that I put out on Twitter a few days ago on my UAP account there on Twitter, at UAPodcast850, right there on Twitter, I put out, it was like a two-minute thing. I just said, I now have the opportunity to have more of a full-time focus on UAP, to do more of these episodes. I've been asked to do that, and that is because of you, because of the way that you've all taken to this show over the past couple of years, coming up to 3 years here in a few months. That's insane. But it's because of you that now I have this opportunity to put more out there, to put more UAP out there, to spend more time writing and creating these episodes. So I'm just so happy to be able to do this more often now, and have, be able to focus on this more often. And hopefully that does lead. Now it's up to me. I have the time, more time to do it. So now it's up to me to get these out more often to you. And we're going to start with that today. I'm not going to talk about the Havana Syndrome stuff that came out a couple days ago. Not yet. I want to dig into that more, but that is a very interesting subject. But I don't want you to think that I was ignoring that or didn't see what was going on there. But, with supposed directed energy weapons, that reminded me of some of the things that I spoke about with Eric Hecker last year. That's something that hopefully I can dig into a little bit later on. But today, kind of getting back to the task at hand, which is the subject of the solar eclipse. That is going to take place here in America on the afternoon of April 8th, 2024. Now, you might be saying to yourself, what could be so bad about a little old solar eclipse, right? It's so cool. And I would agree with you. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing it. I bought the glasses to be able to look at it and things like that. But what kind of solar eclipse would it be if there wasn't some sort of doomsday scenario tied to it? And that's where this episode comes in. Now, also, let me say first that I would like to add a disclaimer, okay? I had my preface, now I'm going to have my disclaimer. Because this is a time-sensitive episode. You may end up hearing this after April 8th. If you're not listening to it today or before the eclipse on April 8th, when the eclipse is over at that point, after the 8th. So I feel it important to highlight that I am not coming on here to predict the end of the world. I don't want you to hear this on April 9th or further and say, oh, Stephen Diener said that the world was going to end and the world didn't end. He's a moron. I might be a moron. That part might be true. But I'm not here to predict the end of the world. Rather, I'm here today to discuss some of the strange coincidences, if you will, I suppose, and the undeniable biblical connections to this eclipse, as well as the companies who may be looking to take advantage of this rare celestial event that is about to take place, and really where that, what is all that going to mean in the end. So we're going to put everything together, and hopefully it makes sense here in the end when we wrap it all up. But before we get to the end, we have to have a beginning. So we'll start with a little organization that you may have heard of before. Their official name is the European Council for Nuclear Research, but you probably know them better as CERN.
In Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, "I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Well, if you look up the martyr of Saint Antipas, you'll see that it was under the reign of Emperor Nero, in a city that is now known as Geneva. And if you're wondering what's in Geneva, you'll find the company CERN, whose main mission is to create the God particle.
So how's that for an introduction, huh? Now, I know that might have felt a little out of context at first, so let's go into it a little bit more and learn about CERN, C-E-R-N, if you're not familiar, but I'm pretty sure you are. And we're going to discuss why some people say they could be actually summoning demons, amongst other things. It's terrifying. But this will all make sense in the end, so stick around. Now, on the surface, CERN presents itself as really just another research organization. In fact, on their website, this is what it says. It says, at CERN, physicists and engineers are probing the fundamental structure of the universe. They use the world's largest and most complex scientific instruments to study the basic constituents of matter and particles. The particles are made to collide together at close to the speed of light. The process gives the physicists clues about how the particles interact and provides insights into the fundamental laws of nature. Now, these collisions take place inside what I like to call the infamous LHC, aka the Large Hadron Collider, which is the world's largest and most powerful particle accelerator. So what does this all have to do with the solar eclipse? Well, CERN made headlines recently. In case you didn't see, they announced that they are firing up the LHC, that Large Hadron Collider. And there's always been a lot of speculation about that collider and what it does and what it can do. And are they opening up portals? There's been reports of portals opening up in the sky over CERN. There's always been a lot of strange stuff coming out of there and rumors, I guess, about what people say they see or hear of what's happening there. We're going to get into some of that. Now, they said they're going to, this is true, that they are firing up the LHC to do an experiment focusing on how dark matter operates within the universe. Now, here's the thing. It just so happens that they are conducting that experiment and turning back on the Large Hadron Collider on, you probably guessed, April 8th, 2024, the same day as the total solar eclipse. So there's your connection there. Now, admittedly, this may mean nothing. Maybe it has no correlation or effect at all. Maybe they didn't even know about the solar eclipse. I find that hard to believe, but let's just put that out there, that maybe this is just, you know, a complete coincidence if you believe in such a thing. But what if there is a correlation? What if there is an effect, a purpose here from CERN to fire up this LHC on the same day as the total solar eclipse? What if this was intentional? So enter a renowned scientist named Astrid, which is actually pretty funny because, you know, you talk about asteroid astronauts. But anyway, Dr. Astrid Stuckelberger. Now, she's an honorary professor at the Russian Academy of Medical Science. She's also a UN representative on psychological study of social issues, amongst other titles and honors. So she's very accomplished, is what I'm trying to get at. And that's important to say, because what you're about to hear, you might be shocked. I just told you those titles to highlight how accomplished she is as a scientist. Keep that in mind when you hear her talk about what she's been told about what they're really doing at CERN. This was from a recent interview that she took place in, and it's wild stuff. Here you go.
Actually, CERN is dealing with radionuclear research. But it is more than that, because there are lots of physicians, I know some, they're doing very strange experimentation. There are beings from portals coming in and out. It's physicists from the CERN who told me this. They have, apparently, in the bottom of the CERN, this portal, this door, where they are dealing with all the subatomic dimensions. They say there are 17 different dimensions of reality.
There's a lot to unpack there. So she's talking about basically addressing some of the rumors that have been going around about CERN for a long time, which is that they're trying to open up portals, they're trying to summon demons or spirits or aliens, otherworldly beings, whatever they are, and they're working with other dimensions, 17 dimensions. And this is, again, you heard her talk about this. A professor at the Russian Academy of Medical Science, a UN representative for the psychological study of social issues. This isn't just somebody that was plucked off the street. This is a very accomplished scientist who was interviewed, and she said these things, talking about what she's been told by other physicists who work at CERN, that they are working with these portals. They're opening up these doorways, these gateways. It's kind of terrifying. I mean, what have they come across? What have they let out? So you can see how this kind of all, you know, correlates to the solar eclipse, because that's pretty wild. Especially again with April 8th, they're turning this collider back on. But she didn't stop there, because you also have to remember that with this, the Large Hadron Collider, it's not on all the time. It was off for a few years for maintenance and things like that. And it goes on and off at different times, usually some years apart as they do these different experiments. And it just so happens that they're turning it back on in the same day as the solar eclipse, which you just heard that clip there where she's talking about the work that they're supposedly really doing. Now you see why I'm wondering some of these things, and I'm wondering when it comes to maybe a coincidence, maybe not, that it's all happening on the same day. So I don't know. But she didn't stop there, because she took the conversation one step further and says that, well, time itself may actually be at play here. Listen to this.
When you look at what is going on in the CERN, there is a fight from some of the military agencies, intel. They say that there is a fight on time. They're trying to change time.
Trying to change time. Trying to change time. So, I mean, what kind of... They're talking about, or at least Dr. Astrid there is talking about how physicists and scientists at CERN, these are her claims, are essentially trying to harness some of the most powerful forces in the universe. I mean, if they're trying to change time, what is really happening there? They're trying to open up these portals. They're trying to talk to whatever these otherworldly beings are, whether it be aliens or demons or are some form of consciousness that we don't fully understand yet. Something supposedly is going on at CERN, and something, whatever is happening there, they're going to be trying to do it on the same day as a solar eclipse. Now, I do also have to ask the question, because, you know, I like to try to look at it from both sides. Is too much being made of all this? Or, you know, is this just innocent? Are we looking too much into this? Or is CERN using this eclipse to heighten some sort of portal or doorway to another dimension? And I know all this sounds like something right out of Stranger Things. I get that. But as they say, you know, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. Oh, and by the way, just I'll throw this out there. On top of all that, there's actually some reports out there. Well, it's not even reports, actually. I shouldn't say reports, because it's more than reports. There's actual videos that seemingly show workers at CERN partaking in and performing in, I hate to say it, but some type of like satanic rituals, including, and I've seen this video and it's really, really weird, they do a mock human sacrifice ceremony. I mean, I know, right? Like, this is supposed to be, they're doing studies of, you know, radio waves and nuclear stuff and particles. What are they doing mock human sacrifices for? What the heck is going on? It's nuts. Now, and it was so bad, this video got out, that the people at CERN, some of the representatives, they actually had to put out a statement on that mock sacrifice and say, well, it was just some scientists blowing off steam and taking their twisted sense of humor too far. Okay, then. I've never got together with my friends and say, hey, guys, let's do a mock human sacrifice tonight. You know, full with robes and torches and all the... it's very, very strange. So I don't know what they're doing there, but the question here is that of CERN and their true intentions. Is there more than meets the eye with them and what they're doing? And did they choose the date of April 8th on purpose to coincide their experiments with the Large Hadron Collider to go hand in hand with the solar eclipse? Are they really trying, I hate to say it, but to summon something by opening up some sort of gateway or portal, or I don't know, maybe even more unnerving, figure out how to manipulate the very fabric of, you know, the space-time continuum? I mean, you heard what the doctor said there. They're trying to play with time and everything. And I look, I know this is heavy stuff. I get it. But look, this is what happens. I told you, I haven't been able to write these episodes in a while. This is what happens. I have all these pent up thoughts. And so when I actually get to sit down and do this, well, this is what we get. But it's also, you know, this is what's going on with the eclipse coming up soon. And it's hard to ignore some of these coincidences. I put that in air quotes as we approach the date of April 8th. Now, on that note, if you thought that was heavy, wait until you hear this part. And if you thought there was a lot of coincidences there with CERN, well, you ain't heard nothing yet, because on the other end of the spectrum, the question has been raised about a possible biblical connection to the solar eclipse. And with it has to do with the path of the eclipse, that the path that the eclipse is taking over the United States. So let's look at this question a little bit here, okay? In order to do that, we do have to backtrack. So I got to go back to the first of three, and remember some of these numbers, the first of three solar eclipses to be seen here in the United States within the past 7 years. The first eclipse happened on August 21st, 2017, and I actually remember seeing that one. I went outside to look at it, just like I'm sure a lot of you did. Now, during that eclipse, its path stretched from the northwest tip of the United States, and it traversed through the Central Plains and into the southeast portion of the U.S., crossing over states like South Carolina on its way out, and, you know, of course, making its way around the rest of the world. Then just recently, on October 14th of 2023, there was what's called an annular solar eclipse, which is basically just a fancy way of saying an eclipse that is more than partial but not considered full, because you can still see some of the sun as it creates that really cool ring of fire effect. And you might remember seeing that on the news a few months back. That's what happens, you know, when the moon is passing through. It's not all the way covered. You get that ring of fire effect. Now, that path, once again, started in the northwest of the United States, as it came through the United States, I should say. But this time it moved further south. Okay, so imagine these two paths here. We had the first one kind of going through the Central Plains out through South Carolina. Now this one moving more south through states like Colorado, New Mexico, eventually exiting through southeast Texas, okay, or towards the Gulf of Mexico. And that brings us to the path of our current eclipse. So you got those first two in mind. Now, the current one is going to take place on the 8th of April in the year of our Lord, 2024. The path of totality, as they call it, you know, where the sun is 100% blocked out during the event, that's going to go from south central Texas all the way through the United States on like this sort of northerly curvature that takes it up through Michigan and into the northeastern states, eventually heading out through Maine and into the Nova Scotia area as it continues onward. And I'm sure you've seen that path as they talk about this more in the news and things like that. Maybe you're even going to see the eclipse. Maybe you're staying in the path of totality. There's millions of Americans that are taking the trip over into, you know, Texas and onward to see the path of totality. Some people even taking flights as it follows the path of totality during the eclipse. So if you're doing that, that's awesome. I will not see that. I'm going to be down here in South Florida, but I'll still have a pretty decent view. But what does this all mean? Why am I mentioning all of this? And really, how does it relate to some sort of, you know, doomsday scenario, right? That's what we were getting at earlier. Well, it's because of what some people have pointed out when it comes to the shape that those three paths make as they intersect when you draw them on a map of the United States. So if you can imagine the three paths I laid out, then you can see that as they all kind of cross each other, okay, as they all kind of intersect, they end up making what I would describe as like a sideways capital letter A. So imagine the first one, you're starting from the northwest corner there of the United States, going through the Central Plains out towards South Carolina. And then the second one I mentioned, you know, same spot starting at, then coming out through Texas into the Gulf. And now this one coming up, kind of starting in that Texas area, curvature through the central United States out into the northeast. So you can see how, if you imagine those lines intersecting, you have that sideways capital letter A. Now, that is significant because that shape, as it kind of been pointed out here recently, very closely resembles the Hebrew title of the Aleph Tav, or in the more familiar Greek term that you've probably heard, the Alpha and the Omega. Now, this, of course, would be a reference to how God describes himself in the book of Revelation, where it's written in chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, This shape that was 7 years in the making could absolutely just be an odd coincidence. I have no problem in suggesting that. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention some of the other odd coincidences, again, in kind of air quotes there, that have been pointed out heading into this solar eclipse event. Let's take a look at some of the cities that will be in the path of the eclipse. Let's start in Nineveh, Texas. Okay. How about Nineveh, Missouri? Into Nineveh, Indiana. And then even Nineveh, Ohio. Nineveh, Pennsylvania. Nineveh, New York. And then finally, Nineveh, Virginia. I said Nineveh a lot. So if you're wondering, that makes 7 different towns named Nineveh here in the United States that will be in the path of the eclipse. And it's worth mentioning that not all of them will be in the path of totality. So I just want to throw that out there. But they are in the path of the eclipse. That said, what makes the name of Nineveh so special? Well, that name holds a special significance in the Old Testament within the famous story of Jonah and the whale. Now, I think we all know that one to some extent, right? God told Jonah to go to the ancient city of Nineveh, which, by the way, just to kind of put it in modern terms, is located what we call Mosul, Iraq today. It was in that area. And the story goes that God told Jonah to go there and tell the people to repent of their sins or he would have their land destroyed. Now, Jonah was like, I'm good. And then God was like, okay, you want to play that game? So on his way out, Jonah got swallowed up by a giant whale. It was trapped in its belly for 3 days until he finally caved and went to Nineveh to preach repentance. So yes, the town of Nineveh absolutely, I would say, my opinion, holds a special significance in the Bible. Oh, and by the way, just going to throw this out there. It is said that once Jonah got to Nineveh, there was actually a solar eclipse, which prompted the people to heed his warning. I'm not making this up. There is that's in some ancient writings, ancient texts, that a solar eclipse did take place in Nineveh around that time when Jonah was there. So again, coincidence, right? It's also been noticed that this eclipse will take place, get this, under the constellation of Cetus, which, yes, makes the shape of a whale. And not only that, but the totality of the eclipse coming up will also pass through a town in Texas named, drumroll please, wait for it, a town named Jonah. I swear to you, this is all real. I'm not making any of this up. These are the things that are on the table that are happening. So make of it what you want, but this is the situation. So just to recap here, we have a 7-year journey of 3 solar eclipse paths that give us the shape of the Hebrew title of the Aleph Tav, a.k.a. the Alpha and the Omega, right? The beginning and the end, which all correlates to monikers relating to God. We have 7 towns named Nineveh in the United States that are in the path of the eclipse. We have other references to Jonah and the whale. And you can also add in, if you like, that the second eclipse in October, on October 14th, 2023, just a few months back. I didn't mention this before, but I'll mention it now. That eclipse, it ended through Texas, through the city of Corpus Christi, which, of course, is Latin for the body of Christ. That's where the second eclipse year ended in the United States on October 14th, 2023. And you may have noticed some of the numerology associated. I told you to try to pay attention to those numbers I was throwing out there. With all of this, it's all, you know, kind of connected with everything we've been going through. The numbers 7 and 3 seem to pop up a few times. It's undeniable. 3 eclipses over 7 years that we spoke about in 17 and 23, and this one coming up on April 8th, 2024. 7 towns named Nineveh. Of course, and of course, that biblical name right there. And these numbers hold great significance, 7 and 3. Very, you know, great significance in the Bible. You may have, you know, of course, the 7 days of creation in the book of Genesis, amongst many other examples throughout the Bible. You have the number 3, which, you know, most famously represents the Holy Trinity, or the number of days that Jesus spent in the tomb prior to his resurrection, right? We just had Easter. And of course, Jonah spent 3 days, like I said earlier, in the belly of the whale. So I'm sure there are more correlations and coincidences, if you'd like to call them that. I just keep using that word. that, you know, I haven't even mentioned here today. But as you can see, you see why and how all of these factors that they're going to culminate on April 8th, why it's gotten some people's attention, including mine, which is why I wanted to relate to you here on UAP Weekly before the eclipse actually takes place. Come to think of it, and maybe I'm reaching here, but even the date itself, April 8th, April's the fourth month, 4 plus 8 equals 12, the 12 apostles. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm digging a little too deep there on that one, but it just popped into my head, so I wanted to throw it out there and add it to the list. So when we put everything together, right, once we kind of sit back and look at everything we just spoke about, and you add it all up, right, the reports coming out of CERN and their possible hidden motives to make contact with otherworldly beings, amongst other things, and all these connections to biblical canon, there's a part of you that really can't help but to wonder, could we be witness to some type of major event during the eclipse on April 8th? Or will it come and go with nothing more than some cool video that we'll see on social media? Now, there is one more thing that I think is worth mentioning on the path of the eclipse, and I'll end with this. At the intersection between the 2017 path and the path that this April 8th eclipse is going to take, there's an intersection here that occurs directly over the New Madrid fault line, which is a very major seismic zone in the United States, and scientists and geologists have been very concerned about a major earthquake taking place over that area and kind of like, you know, the Midwest area of the United States, because that would be a very, very bad thing. So not trying to scare anybody, but again, one of those coincidences, so to speak, that those two lines intersect right there over the New Madrid fault line as well. So just another one to add to the list. But you put everything together, everything we spoke about here today, we can keep it in mind. But in the end, as always, like I say, I leave it all up to you to decide. But that'll do it for now. Hopefully, I get to speak to you again after the solar eclipse and the world doesn't end or anything like that. I know it's a lot of strange stuff there, but I found it fascinating. I really wanted to put out an episode here today before the eclipse talking about all this stuff, because it's just, it's weird, especially with CERN. What are they doing there? I'm going to keep my eye on CERN, by the way, because that's not the last time I'm going to talk about them. There's some weird stuff going on there, I think. But outside of all that, don't forget, of course, to download and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. UAP, the Unidentified Alien Podcast. It's everywhere. Apple, Spotify, anywhere you find your podcasts. And you can follow the show on Twitter if you're not already, at UAPodcast850. I always try to post updates on there and everything, and you can reach out to me directly there as well with anything that's on your mind. I always try to get back to everybody as well through email. If you would rather email me, it's sdieneruap@gmail.com. That's sdieneruap@gmail.com. Sometimes it takes me longer than I like to get back to you, but I do get back to you. So if you got something to say, comments, stories, anything on your mind, feel free to reach out to me there, and I will be happy to respond, because I appreciate you listening. I appreciate everything. Oh, and of course, UAPpodcast.com. That's always out there for everything having to do with the show as well. But on that note, thank you all again for everything. Your support always means the world to me, especially now that I get to do this more often. So more UAP soon. Until next time, it's Stephen Diener here on the Unidentified Alien Podcast. I'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the eclipse, and I'll talk to you again very soon. Thanks very much.